everybody. Cal Banyan here. This is Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. And this week, once again, we are with L. Ron Ferguson. And let me tell you, if you're watching this anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video is all the links and supporting materials and all kinds of, you know, just useful information that you can get from down there. By the way, if you've not been to calbanyan.com, you want to go there. We have over 100 free hypnosis training videos like this, and you can just watch them. Just watch them anytime, any place that you have internet connection. And gosh, we're getting into the holiday season. I don't know exactly when this is going to play, but I know it's going to be, you know, probably in December here. And all you guys out there where it's snowing, move to California. That's what I did. Okay, I'm sure that just made everybody real happy that's in the snow. All right, hey, let me tell you about L. Ron Ferguson. He is a true one percenter, one of the best of the best. He's come to our center and he's really doing this mastery job of five path. He's changing people's lives left and right, and really proud of the work that he does. He helps me in my training sessions with people, with our classes, doing demonstrations and also supervising people in their practice. He's got quite a future ahead of him. How you doing there, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal. Just getting started, aren't I?
I know. Boy, there's so many people really get started in the profession of hypnosis later on in life, and here you are, just a youngster, and already you've got such a great level of understanding of hypnosis.
I'm already an old battle axe. But I gotta say, I mean, if I'm an axe at all, if I'm sharp at all, it's because of you, Cal. Because, Cal taught me everything I know, and let me tell you what I know, because what I know is Five Path. It's the best approach to hypnotherapy in the world today. It's the only systematic approach where we do some of the most thorough, deep hypnosis therapeutic work that can actually be done on a purpose. And we have success where everything else has failed, don't we, Cal?
You betcha.
That's my line.
I know, I stole it from you.
I know. I tried to remove that from my vocabulary after watching the last ones.
Hey, I was just doing some calculating. Now, I calculated before and I was wrong. I told Meredith that our 150th podcast would be around Christmas, but now it looks like it's going to be on, like, around New Year's Day. That'll be kind of cool.
Is the 150th podcast going to be one of the ones with my name on it? Not that I care or anything like that.
I'll probably have to do all three of us together.
That's
a regular menage a podcast.
Okay.
All right, why don't you catch him up on what we've done? We got to get right into this
stuff.
All
right.
Because we're going to be on time this time.
Bam, 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 you bet. All right, I'm going to up my rate of speech, because we've been doing faux case studies where we have chosen Vincent van Gogh as a client to see for sessions and to take him through the five-path process to demonstrate what that is. It's five phases. Okay, we've done three. The first phase, we prepared him, tested him, and convinced him he was in hypnosis. It's called the preparation, testing, and convincing phase, phase one. During the first session, we were able to segue him from the first phase into the second phase, which is age regression therapy. Okay, AR is the acronym for that, where we regress him on the emotion that he's experiencing that's connected with the issue he came in for. We intensify it in hypnosis, follow it back to where the problem started, and neutralize the cause of the problem, and give him suggestions that are congruent with the changes that he came in here to make. We then moved on to phase three, which is forgiveness of others, where since we've done age regression therapy, it puts us in the optimal position to do the forgiveness work, because during the age regression, we've uncovered who the major players were, who were the cause of the problem. In this case, Van Gogh's problem is a mixture of fears, it's like shyness, anxiety. He's a recluse. He's a bit of a recluse. It's made him a quitter. It's made him not be able to be successful in his life and ultimately have to be dependent and not have any good relationships. And he's just a lonely, depressed, weird old guy that paints a lot by himself. So we want to give him as much help as we can. So we just finished up phase three, where we put his mother in a room with him, where we have him hallucinate being in a room with two chairs so that he can say what he needs to say to her and have her say what she needs to say to him, with the client hallucinating all this, of course, so that he can forgive her and free himself from all that old pain and hurt inside. You want to add anything to that, Cal?
Yeah, I sure do. And one of the things, we're kind of trying to condense as much information into these few episodes as we can, but quite often we may have to put more than one person in that chair. For example, if it was just like so hard to get him to forgive his mother, and he's still got a lot of issues, a lot of people, as revealed by the age regression work that we did, we might just put another person in that chair and go through the whole process again. On the other hand, if, boy, he got through it and he goes, I get it. Boy, I just feel like I'd like to forgive everybody in this world. And that's what we'll do. We'll just put him on auto forgiveness and have him forgive everyone that's really hurt them in any significant way in that chair, and just really do that on their own at the speed of thought. And it can really be a very healing and fast process. And once that's done, there's just one person left to do. And who's that, Elron?
Oh, it's the person that's followed you everywhere. He's there every time you look in the mirror. We segue into phase four, which is forgiveness of self, where we have Van Gogh put himself into the other chair to do the forgiveness work, because after all, he's right there. And who's the major part of the equation there? So it's being able to help Van Gogh forgive every part that he's had in the situations in his life where he either feels like he's let himself down and hurt himself, done things to hurt himself, he's quit, he's made mistakes, he's made huge faux pas, sabotaged himself, whatever that is, and which makes him feel angry at himself, and also help him to alleviate and neutralize feelings of guilt that come from maybe times where he's hurt other people or others in his life that are causing him to have a lot of guilt inside that is affecting his life. So,
now, one thing that's really cool, let me interject here for a moment, is once you've really learned and understand phase three, forgiveness of others, you've really learned about almost 70% of what you need to know to do the forgiveness of self work. Because as Elron's going to get into, he's going to talk about how we kind of psychically divide the individual into two parts. And then for most of the session, we're going to proceed in the same way as we did with forgiveness of others, except we're going to put an aspect of the individual that they hold responsible for the pain that they've caused themselves and other people in their life in that chair. Isn't that right, Elron?
That's right.
Good. Go ahead.
You bet. You betcha. In this case.
Are you from Alaska?
No. Do they say that? I thought they said that. That's more of a Midwest thing. Oh, yeah, you betcha. Oh, that tractor, you know. Oh, sure there.
That's North Dakota, Minnesota.
Okay, Cal Banyan, sir. You do that hypnosis work, do ya?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. So, I take Van Gogh.
We're making lots of friends with our colleagues up in North Dakota and Minnesota there. Go ahead.
All right. Van Gogh, he's there in the chair, and just like before in last episode, which was a doozy, by the way, you want to watch that, a lot of information of that, I have Van Gogh hallucinate that he's back in that round room, and now you're back in that round room with those two very simple straight back chairs in it, the one for speaking, the one for listening, and you take a seat, and you begin to look over across, wondering who goes in that other chair this time. Because now it becomes as if it was a full-length mirror, because in that other chair is a perfect reflection of you, but it's not you, it's just a part of you. Okay, this is how we do the lead-in, the short version. It's a part of you that's made all the mistakes in your life. He's a part that made all the mistakes that you regret, the part of you that left when he should have stayed when he should have left. Okay, stayed silent when he should have spoken, spoke when he should have remained silent, lied when he should have told the truth, and so on, along that course of thought there. The part of you that made every mistake, whoever let you down and ever held you back, and he doesn't look like he's not feeling very good about himself. Just like in phase three. In a moment I'll offer you some things to say to him, but don't say them unless they're true. Look over at him and tell him, you hurt me. And then we're on our way, just like we did with last session. Tell them you hurt me a long time ago. Tell them you hurt me when I was just born. In this case, Van Gogh was just born. Good. Tell them about that time you had that misperception. You were just born, and Van Gogh was able to do that. And he says, you hurt me when I was just born. You made me think. Tell him, you made me think I was going to die. You made me feel scared. Because of you, I felt scared my whole life. Good. Tell him how else that affected your life. Because of you, I always held back. I always quit. I never thought I was good enough. And we're able to, you know, once again, we build the platter, right? If you watched last episode.
Now let me go ahead and interject a couple things here.
Yep.
You got it exactly right. And one of the things is a hint, an insider tip, trick, and technique is whenever you're doing this kind of forgiveness work, you would like to have your age regression notes out in front of you. Because as L. Ron is talking about this forgiveness of others session, he's going chronologically through the events. And he says, you know, tell him you hurt me when. And he offers the guidance that, gosh, we know from the age regression that the child perceived a situation that led to pain when he was just born. You know, the mother didn't really value him, didn't love him. It was a perception. But the child held the mother responsible for that. That wasn't fair from the child's perspective. And so that is what where the anger comes from, and you can just move methodically through the events of the age regression and anything else that your client wants to add to it as we once again fill up the platter of pain. Good. All right, Elron, go on.
Good. We keep on taking him through these events. You know, he's an older kid. He's an adolescent. Okay, and it's a similar theme. You hurt me. You made me feel afraid. You made me hold back. You made me act weird. You made me say the wrong thing. Okay, and also we want to make sure that we don't just elicit the anger at himself for letting himself down or holding back or making mistakes or whatever. He's also hurting other people. Okay, tell him about a time he hurt others. Okay, you hurt me when you hurt my sister. Okay, tell him what you did. You did this and this and that to her. Tell him what that made you think of. You know, tell them what that made you think. That made me think I was bad. That made me think I couldn't connect with people. Tell them how that made you feel. It made me feel guilty. Good. And how does that make you feel? Mad. Where's that feeling in your body? Once again, we're exacerbating the feeling. Sometimes we can twist the knife even more and say, he just wants to keep on doing it to you. He wants your future to look like your past. He doesn't want you to change. If something doesn't change, he's just going to keep on doing it to you. How does that make you feel? Oh, I hate him. Oh, he hurts me so bad. Good. And once again, the cherry on top, just like last episode, tell him what hurt me the most was. Okay. What hurt me the most was that you dropped out of seminary school, you know, or whatever it was, keeping congruent with Van Gogh's case history. All right. He had this theme of dropping out of school, of just being a quitter, of being a recluse, of not connecting with people.
Good. Let me just go ahead and add something, because I want the viewers and the listeners to notice that what he's saying is, you hurt me when, and you made me think, and you made me feel. This is so much like the Fab Five of the Fantastic Five questions in the age regression. We find out what's happening, what are you thinking, what are you feeling, and then how old are you, and is it familiar or new? Well, we don't need the familiar or new because we're not doing age regression, and the age isn't that relevant in the forgiveness. But what's happening, what are you thinking, what are you feeling? That's got being gone over again in this forgiveness work when we say, tell him, you hurt me when? That's what happened. You made me think. You see, that's what are you thinking? And you made me feel. And that's equivalent to the age regression. What are you feeling? And so we're going over this same kind of perception, what they perceived was going on, the cognitive and then the emotional connections to that event. Because just like in the age regression, the forgiveness of others and the forgiveness of self-work is an insight process. And we want them to experience a change in how they perceive and how they feel and how they think about things as a result of the session, which will be long-lasting because insights are permanent. And also the insights force the subconscious mind into that state of reorganization, creating that hyper-suggestibility. So not only does the forgiveness of others and the forgiveness of self get accomplished, but also they are now primed to accept the suggestions for what they came in for and experience that long-term, deep felt change. All right. Another note I took while I was writing is the other person. Elrond talked about, you know, cover other people he's hurt besides himself, because there's two emotions we're working with when we're doing the forgiveness of self. There is anger at self for treating ourselves unfairly, not giving ourselves, for example, opportunities that we should have done, and then also having done other people wrong. And one of the people he might perceive himself, this is Van Gogh after all, and if you're familiar with his history, he became very dependent on his brother. And so he might think, gosh, you know, look what you've done to your brother's life. He's had to spend so much time taking care of you and that kind of thing. Good job, Elrond. Proceed.
And just so you guys know, there's going to be a quiz at the end of this video. We should certify people just for watching this.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, this video is so powerful as far as information.
It's packed.
You guys watching this, you might as well put it in your head, you're going to have to watch this or listen to it three times. There's so much information really in every video of this series. Proceed.
I have the feeling we're running on about 13, 14 minutes. That's what my biological clock says, so we'll see what we can do. We've built up the platter of pain. We've exacerbated to the point where the client is, where Van Gogh is really feeling that anger. How'd you like to be rid of that feeling? Yes, I'd like it. This is what we're going to do, just like last episode. I'm going to touch your shoulder firmly, let all that anger come up from your chest, wherever it is, right, wherever it was, into your shoulder. Feel it, feel it, feel it. Good. Slide that anger down into your hand. Hold it up. Tell him, look what you make me feel inside. Tell him, I'm not going to take it anymore. Okay, we're really trying to get the client to be able to take back control of their life from this part of them. All right, good. Let their hand out. Have them express the anger by pumping it into the pillow. Tell them, look what you did to me. Tell them, you are such a... And the client gets to express their perceptions of self-loathing toward themselves for all the things that they ever did wrong that are generating those emotions that Cal talked about that are preventing them from moving forward in their life, okay? They beat all that anger out. They finally get exhausted by expressing their perceptions to the point where there's just nothing else to say. So we can take that wall of anger down. So now is the key point, the transition. We say, you've noticed that they've exhausted the anger, this cathartic release, right? But just a catharsis is not enough to create any kind of lasting change without what comes right now. Be mistake-making part. Put their hand on on their head. Be mistake-making part. And just like with phase three, I can't believe what I just heard. You did this, you did that, you made him always feel guilty, you sabotaged him. How could you do that? Didn't you grow up in the kind of family where you learned how to feel brave? In this case, didn't you grow up in the kind of family where you learned how to connect with other people, where you learned how to feel safe and secure in relationships? No, I didn't. Okay, wouldn't it have been nice if you had? Yes. And once again, we work with those 10 keys of forgiveness. We don't use all of them for this particular process because something happens. What we're doing with phase four is we're building a case while this is happening. You can help me out with this, Cal, because I've never articulated it to someone else before. I just mostly do session work. We're building a case where Van Gogh can see that this part of him was, in fact, just trying to protect him all along. You know, was it your intent to hurt him and ruin his life? No. Well, what were you trying to do for him by holding him back, by keeping him inside? By making him drop out of school. Oh, I didn't want him to fail, okay? Or I didn't want him to get rejected. Oh, okay. Was that a way to try to protect him? Yes. And what's the greatest thing is that over 50% of the time, after you've built this case and started to elicit these keys of forgiveness of, you know, are you sorry you did that? Was it right around when you get into intent, you know, was it your intent to hurt him? They start to put it right there for you, because after all, these 10 keys of forgiveness came from doing forgiveness work. Okay, that's where we got him. That's where Cal got him. Okay, and they say, I was just trying to protect him. We go, oh, ta-da, because we know this all along. We say, you know what, mistake-making part, I may have misnamed you. It doesn't seem to me like your intention was to hurt him. Your intention was to protect him. So you're not the mistake-making part, you're the protective part who's made some mistakes. Does that fit? Yes. What were you trying to protect him from? Blah, 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 blah. And you get that insight in there. Protective part. How would you like to undo the damage from this moment on and give the self back his life? If there was a way to do that, would you be interested in knowing what that was? Yes.
Hey, let me interrupt here for a second, because I want to make sure what everyone understands that from the very beginning, our intent is to, you know, have them express all that anger, go through the 10 keys of forgiveness, and have them have the insight that that part of them, which we were calling the mistake-making part, is really the protective part that's made some mistakes. And then we can start calling that other part the protective part, which makes them a lot more forgivable. Good. Okay, go on.
With the most important point of, if you had known back then what you know now, would you have done things differently? Yes. Well, then that makes them forgivable now, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. Good. Tell him what he needs to hear so he can forgive you. And the protective part will tell self what he needs to hear so he can forgive you. Oh, I never knew any better. I was just trying to protect you. And things of that nature. Good. Be self. Do you believe him? Yes. Good. It all comes down to forgiveness. Inside of you, the words that need to be said to make this forgiveness complete and set yourself free, do it. And then you'll have Van Gogh able, you know, Van Gogh is able to forgive himself, which is a really great thing. And, you know, after that, sometimes before it, depending on how things go, sometimes we've got to troubleshoot this a little differently. That's getting into some advanced material. After that, we let's just say in this case, it was after that, we read the Carpenter pattern. Which is, you know, now I'm talking to both of you, both parts, and we relay a metaphorical story about a boy who's going out in the world on his first job. He's got these gloves that his mom gave him that are there to protect him as he worked, but the gloves cause him some problems. They make it hard for him to do everything, and he starts to give up on himself, okay, until he starts to look around at the other men that don't wear gloves. They got these strong, calloused hands, and he takes off the gloves and realizes that all those bumps and bruises and nicks and scratches and, you know, maybe a nail through the finger actually gives him scars, gives him calluses, and makes him a better builder. And so he has these insights, you know, the story is laden with insight about being able to step up to life's challenges, you know, every failure is a step closer to success kind of type of thing. He who does nothing makes no mistakes. Do you want to do nothing? Or do you want to make some mistakes and, you know, every no gets you closer to yes kind of sort of thing. And so, you know, he takes off the gloves, looks around, starts to look forward to those experiences that transform him into the experienced carpenter he feels called to become. And he earns each scar like a soldier earns his stripes. And we say, protective part, you're just like the gloves, aren't you? You've been overprotecting him, yes. And this is a very important part. We have him transition. We say, you know what, we got a new job assignment for you. We don't want to get rid of you, but you need to take a step back and become the bodyguard. So, see, the boy kept his gloves in his back pocket. So you're going to be the bodyguard and take a step back and let the self handle those experiences, those challenges in life, because he needs to be strong. Do you agree with that? Yes. Would you like to do that? Yes. And then you do the reality test. You say, self, is that okay with you? You agree you need those experiences? Yes. Is there anything you can think of that can keep you from, let me backtrack a second. You say the protective part.
Oh, there you go, backtracking again.
Backtracking.
I knew I would get you.
I know. You knew it would. I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen.
Take your time. We still got 10 seconds.
Okay. I'm thinking at a million miles an hour. So, we said, you're going to be the bodyguard. And the protective part's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Self, is that a good idea? Yes, that's a great idea too. Good. Protective part, there's a chance you might start acting like a protective part again, right? Yeah, there is. And if it happened, you'd know it, wouldn't you? Yes, I would. And would you be able to step back into your new role as the bodyguard if you don't notice that you're doing that old thing again? Yes, I would. Would you accept a gentle reminder from the self? Yes, good. Be self. Self, this will be the reminder. It's okay, I've got it. I need this experience. It's okay, I can handle it. That sort of thing. Get me? Yes. Be the protective part. Is that okay with you? Yes. Is there any, I'm talking to protective part now, is there anything you can think of that would keep you from holding up your end of the bargain? Or, in this case, we say, you know your life. Is there any, is there anything that could happen in your everyday situation where that wouldn't work? No. Good. Be self. Is there anything you can think of where that wouldn't work? No. Good. And now I'm talking to both of you, and you've both forgiven each other, and right here, I'm going to wrap it up real quick. We wrap it up. We say, and there you are, and you walk toward each other, and you hold each other, and you've forgiven each other completely because each one of you knows, you know, you've walked in each other's shoes. And you realize it was all a misunderstanding, and you're like two brothers separated from each other by anger, and you melt away, and it all melts away, and you melt back into one person who's whole and complete, has good reason to feel confident in himself. And now that you've experienced this forgiveness of yourself, and of others, you accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before. And now all that anger is gone. Suggestion, suggestion, suggestion. You've come to these terms, and you have more control in your life now more than ever before because of these insights. And now you're changing. Add anything to that, Cal, before I wrap it?
Okay. We don't want to be too pressured by time so much that we're not getting the gist of what we need to get across. But I'd like you to just take, you know, in a very efficient and effective way, kind of explain to the group, the viewers, why you did the carpenter patter and why you did the bodyguard.
Let's see if I can articulate this too. So the carpenter patter, carpenter patter, bodyguard, we want to make sure that this part of himself, I mean, so Van Gogh's there, he's born, he feels naturally unprotected by his mother, okay? So there's a part of his psychology that kind of starts to protect him. You know, he's got to start protecting himself because his environment, the influences that have affected his subconscious mind, don't allow him to feel safe. And so that's why the protective part's there in the first place. The carpenter patter is meant to put that back in perspective so that that internalized, in this case, is, you know, that internalized mother, so to speak, can step back and he can start having those experiences and stop overprotecting himself. You want to add anything to that before I talk about the bodyguard, Cal?
No, I think that was really useful. Good, continue.
Good, the bodyguard. And, of course, the bodyguard just goes right into that, since it's included in the story. It's a positive intention, this part of him, and so we can harness that to still maintain a presence in his background, because, you know, the client is obviously, you know, Van Gogh, he's obviously tired out from having to overprotect himself all the time. I mean, just that turns you into a nervous wreck. I mean, you're in a state of looking around at anything that might be a problem, and just that right there wears you out. So that's a lot of energy that can be there in the background to handle any type of life and limb challenges that might come his way. Because, like I said, the intention is still there, the energy is still there. We just need to put it in the right place within his mind so that he can still maintain the strength and the benefits of that resource in a positive light instead of a negative place.
Good job. Wrap it up.
All right. So we took him through. We did the segue. He's out of hypnosis, feeling like he's in control of his life. That's phase four. Next, we're going to get into phase five because it turns out Van Gogh has some secondary gain issues that need to be resolved. Now that the primary gain, the fear, misconceptions, the anger at the self, and the guilt has been resolved, we're going to find out next episode that they have been resolved. We're going to get into that next episode. If you want to know more about this process and learn as much as you possibly can, go to hypnosis.org. There are free scripts there. There are free training materials. There's even a link to the 10 Keys of Forgiveness that'll make this make a lot more sense to you. There's case studies that you can buy, sessions training that are well worth the money. You can also get training with us. We have another certification class coming up in March. You can also look at hypnosiscenter.com if you want sessions to learn more about everything that we do. Thanks for watching this episode. My name is L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
Excellent job. This is Cal Banyan, calbanyan.com, 100 plus hypnosis training videos. Bruce, we're going to say 150 plus, but you know. All right, Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.